Manuscript Releases, Volume 4, Numbers 210 to 259. MR. Number 215, Spirit of Prophecy Emphasis Week. I thought it might not do the boys any harm to have a little excursion in the country, and I could visit a little and while away the time in your absence. Willie enjoyed himself well, was sorry it was time to come home. The boys played with Eli and worked a little. It was a great treat for them. We are hoping that we may return to you, not to plunge into business as we have done and leave you poor boys to take care of yourselves, but we are going to spend more time with you, seeking to make you and Willie happy. We will have more recreation and less work. Willie enjoys himself well because he can be outdoors. He has been a great help to me in paring peaches and pears. I have been putting up fruit, quite a quantity. May, my dear child, I do not wish you to overwork, but I want you to be prompt and bear your share of responsibility. Those who do work only when compelled to do so will be worthless. You can do work with cheerfulness and not wait to be told. Be faithful in little things, and then it will be easy for you to be faithful in larger things. Remember that there are duties for you to perform just as important to perfect your experience as the duties those older have to do to perfect their experience. Do your work, not as though it was a burden, but a pleasure, as though done for Jesus. Your Savior was an obedient child, working with his Father at the simple trade of a carpenter. You must eat and drink in order to live, and then, as a natural result, the dishes must be washed, floors swept, if you live in houses. Now act your part with fidelity, doing your work for Jesus. 3. 1881, pages 2, 3. To dear children, Addie and May Walling, April 15th, 1881. We endured the journey to Des Moines well. There were omnibuses, but no carriage for me, as we were not expected. We dragged up 4 miles to the campground, walking every step. The fairground was our encampment. Certainly it was the most beautiful spot for camp meeting we have ever occupied. In Switzerland, we see the teachers go out with their scholars every day, and they sing their little songs and learn how to play. This is as it should be. Then school is not a drudgery. All the older ones have a teacher with them, and he watches their play and tells them how to play and plays with them, and they become attached to him. He does not stand off and criticize and find fault with their play, but enters right into their amusement, and if he finds one who is mischievous, he sets him in order and teaches him that he must play right. And thus the teachers mingle with the scholars in their amusement, and their hearts are bound together. We rode out a few miles and took dinner near the beach in a little clump of brush. There was a nice stream flowing close by where we ate our dinner. Then we gathered greens, and after going down on the beach, we returned to our home. 86, 1893, 2. Diary, October 8th to November 11th, 1893. Labors at Gisborne, New Zealand. Thursday, there was a Sabbath school picnic a few miles from Gisborne. We crossed the river in a boat and found a sightly location for the day. It being a little windy, we were sheltered by canvas to break the wind. It was the Prince of Wales' birthday and is honored by making it a holiday. Baskets of provisions were brought on the ground, tablecloths were placed upon them, and all partook of the refreshment with keen relish. We then, several in number, resorted to the protection of the canvas to shelter us from the wind, while the children were enjoying themselves in innocent amusement. The time came that I must speak. All collected, and parties which had taken a boat ride came to hear, so I had quite a congregation, and the Lord gave me perfect freedom in speaking to them. All seemed to feel well satisfied with the day of recreation. 86, 1893, 10, 11. Diary, October 8th to November 11th, 1893. Labors at Gisborne, New Zealand. Men are dealing in liquors and narcotics that are destroying the human family. Deathly mixtures are used that make men mad, and murder and violence are prevailing everywhere. At the last, theft and robbery will become more prevalent. 119, 1898, 5. The Word of God, our study book. Typed, September 22nd, 1898. The Lord gave men minds in order that he might control them. But Satan has come in with a determination to control the minds of men. He has led men into the use of the narcotic tobacco, of opium, and all other drugs which weaken the hold of the human family upon life. 5. 1889, 3. The Need for Consecrated Workers. Typed, January 26, 1899. Sister Blank and her husband were at the meeting. Her husband opposed her much, and has, while intoxicated, presented to her head a loaded pistol. But the Lord has kept her from being harmed. About 1 month ago, this violent man was thoroughly converted. He has no appetite, he says, for liquor, and his bloated appearance has changed. He looks like a quiet, pleasant man. I am seated next to a theater manager. He has a little woman with short-cut hair, an actress. We have become quite well acquainted. I have thought, here are two actors in life, but what a contrast. I have not the slightest desire for her life, but I do feel deeply anxious to act my part in my life work with unswerving fidelity. The party are very kind and courteous, but the raid they make upon bottles of champagne and wines is to me a marvel. The lady takes her glass with as much ease as the gentleman. I have been courteously invited to join them, but frankly told them I never in my life tasted the article and had no need for anything of the kind. They opened their eyes with astonishment. I treat the different parties with my precious fruit, and they try hard to make some exchange but fail. They feel disturbed to think they are in my debt. We traveled until 1 o'clock and then were transferred to the boat. We had our stateroom, but it was so arranged that it was not a protection from the tobacco poison. At this late hour, or early hour of morning, men were fumigating themselves with the tobacco smoke which filled our stateroom with the disagreeable, sickening smell. We could obtain but little sleep and felt unrefreshed, unrested the next day. Many waste life in laboriously doing nothing. There is such a thing as being in a hurry and yet not getting forward. Reckoning the day at 10 hours of active employment, 1 hour lost in bed or in indolence daily makes a loss of 6 years in 60. All slow motions may be overcome by proper training. The youth who are trained to do their work with dispatch will have no slow, moderate, lazy habits of working. It is a great neglect on the part of parents to allow their children to occupy 2 hours in the work that could be performed in one. Work is constantly being done in heaven. There are no idlers there. My Father worketh hitherto, said Christ, and I work. We cannot suppose that when the final triumph shall come, and we have the mansions prepared for us, that idleness will be our portion, that we shall rest in blissful do-nothing state. To every man he has given his work. We rode 14 miles to Brother Hardy's. Brother Kramer did not give us the right directions, and we went 4 miles out of our way. Did not arrive at Brother Hardy's until dinner time. It was snowing fast. We were heartily welcomed by the family. A good dinner was soon in readiness for us, of which we thankfully partook. This is a colored family, but although the house is poor and old, everything is arranged with neatness and exact order. The children are well behaved, intelligent, and interesting. May I yet have a better acquaintance with this dear family. The meeting is 4 miles beyond Brother Hardy's. They accompanied us to the meeting. It was held in a private house. The Lord's eye is upon all his creatures. He loves them all, and makes no difference between white and black, except that he has a special tender pity for those who are called to bear a greater burden than others. Those who slight a brother because of his color are slighting Christ. Sin rests upon us as a church because we have not made greater effort for the salvation of souls among the colored people. God has children among the colored people all over the land. They need to be enlightened. 6. 1891, 4A, 7, 9, 11. Our Duty to the Colored People, November 4, 1889. The pioneers of successful work among the colored people were obliged to teach old and young how to read. They had to provide food and clothing for the needy. They had to speak comforting words to the downcast. Those who, after a day's work, walked miles to attend night school, needed sympathy. The teachers had to adapt their instruction to many varied minds. Angels of God looked on with approval. The workers had God's commendation. The workers passed through an experience of disappointment and trial, but Christian love and patience won for them the victory. 119, 1902, page 5. To my brethren bearing responsibilities in the Southern Union Conference, June 28, 1902. You are not accountable for the color of your skin, and it does not in any way affect the question of your salvation. Your words are of far more consequence with God. There is room for all in the work of God, for a world demands our labors. We must not put off the doing of our work until labor comes to be regarded as genteel. The life of Christ is a constant rebuke to the one who is willing to sit by with folded hands. Let us now set to work in earnest to do something for Christ. 105, 1908, 2, 3, 5. Words of Counsel to Our Colored People, typed October 19, 1908. We saw large preparations made, tents pitched in a beautiful location, where the house of the priest of the Maoris was located. There were beautiful tall evergreen trees bordering the enclosure, and here were collected a large congregation of the Maoris for a council meeting. It was quite a sight. Looked like a camp meeting. The tents were very low, yet manifested considerable skill and taste in formation. The dresses of many were gaudy, as if to outrival the rainbow. 78, 1893, 18. Labors in New Zealand, diary, March 15th to April 12th, 1893. After the Sabbath, August 19th, we stepped on board the train for Hastings. The only car for any passengers, second class, was filled, with few exceptions, with Maoris. Many of them were heavily loaded with drink. There were a few white men, and one of these was as boisterous as the Maoris, who were very rough and boisterous, yelling, stomping, and some smoking. I have to make an effort to center my mind on Jesus and ask for His grace to sustain and comfort me. Exactly opposite us sat three Maori young men who were quiet, intelligent-looking lads. They struck up a song in English and with clear, musical voices sang of Christ and the pardoning love of God to sinners. Oh, how refreshing! It was indeed as cold water to a thirsty soul. They sang hymn after hymn, and I thanked them for thus doing. They stated, pointing to the boisterous Maoris, "They are showing their colors, and we must show our colors." These young men volunteered to help us from the car with our baggage, and we could only thank them. They may be of that number upon whom the leaven of truth is working. They told us they had to walk 20 miles that night to reach the college which they attend, and it was then about 8 o'clock. A young Maori, planning to leave for college, was being pressured to participate in heathen funeral rites for a wealthy young friend who had died suddenly. But he slipped off unperceived, and just in time took the train for Napier. Oh, how deeply interested I am that these young men shall become prepared to do the missionary work so essential to be done for their own nation. Pomare also has been baptized and has gone to America to become a medical missionary. He is the son of a chief of high repute. 85, 1893, 10. Labors in New Zealand, September 1st to October 7th, 1893. We again assembled in the government paddock, and we had a large attendance. There was all that quietness that was seen in any of our meeting houses. 86, 1893, 3. Labors at Gisborne, New Zealand, October 8th to November 11th, 1893. The Australian camp meeting of Seventh-day Adventists was held this year in a pleasant grove at Ashfield, a very attractive suburb of Sydney. The weather was fine throughout the camp meeting, and we thoroughly enjoyed our sojourn in the tents. They were arranged in regular village-like order, with streets named after the reformers. Some of the campers brought their cook stoves and had their tents so arranged that, in passing by, one could see the neatly and bountifully set tables, the white beds, and attractive sitting rooms. Between the forenoon and afternoon meetings, the children were taken out to the woods nearby and given lessons from nature. The holy hours of the Sabbath have commenced. I thank my Heavenly Father for the peace and rest of spirit that I have in Him. I can trust in His love. 1. 1895. 1. 2. 15. Report of camp meeting at Ashfield, Australia, undated. It may be necessary for us to travel on the Sabbath in order to reach the churches who need our help. But we should secure our tickets and make all other arrangements on some other day, if it is unavoidable, and we must travel upon the cars or steamboats. When my children were small, we had a large family of adopted children. We would have our work away before the setting of the sun. The children would hail the Sabbath as a joy. They would say, "Now Father and Mother will give us some of their time." We would take them out for a walk. We would take the Bible and some religious instruction to read to them and explain to them the Scriptures. We would keep praying that they should know the truth of God's Word. We would not lie abed Sabbath mornings because it was Sabbath. We would have our preparations all ready the day before so that we could go to service without the hurry and worry. We would not stroll off and have a nice time to ourselves. We wanted our children to have all the privileges and blessings of God's sanctified rest day. Friday is the day on which we are to prepare for the Sabbath. We need to realize that all heaven is keeping the Sabbath, but not in a listless, do-nothing way. Is the Sabbath to be a day of useless idleness? No, a spirit of service is to be manifested in the home and in the church. 22, 1897, pages 3, 4. To brethren and sisters in Kurenbong, December 23, 1897. On the Sabbath, parents should give all the time they can to their children. In pleasant weather, parents can take their children out to walk in the fields and forests and talk to them of the lofty trees, the shrubs, and the flowers, and teach them that God is the maker of all these things. Then teach them the reasons for the Sabbath, that it is to commemorate God's creative works. After working 6 days, he rested on the seventh and blessed and hallowed the day of his rest. The sweet story of Bethlehem can be repeated. Present before them Christ as a babe in Bethlehem, a child obedient to his father and mother, a youth industrious, helping to support the family. Read them the interesting stories in Bible history. Thus the day will be to them the best day of the seven. 57, 1897, 9, 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. June 7th, 1897. In the night season, I was in a dream or vision which revealed some things in Battle Creek. My guide said, "Follow me." I was directly in Battle Creek. The streets were alive with bicycles ridden by our people. There was a witness from heaven beholding our people indulging their desire for selfish gratification and using the money that should be invested in foreign missions to unfurl the banner of truth in the cities and in the highways and byways of the land. There was an infatuation, a craze, upon this subject. The witness from heaven said, "Every device that Satan can invent to make our people disloyal to Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, will be ready at hand." The notices given in our papers, extolling bicycles, might better to cut out, and in their place the destitute foreign fields be represented. Brethren and sisters in Battle Creek, I inquire, who hath bewitched you? Shall the idols be expelled from the heart, and Jesus be enthroned there? 23C, 1894, pages 1, 2, 3. Testimony to Battle Creek, letter to Evans, July 20th, 1894. Released August 22nd, 1968.